for a few moments tonight before we give extra time for prayer. If you would turn with me to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and we'll read from the 14th verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 14. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or young hart upon the mountains of Bethel. Amen. May God add the blessing to the reading of his holy word. We centre our thoughts tonight for just a few moments on verse 14. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Dear congregation, the Lord has purchased the church. In the time of love, he draws near and saves. He hears the cry of the elect sinner. And then throughout their lives, he delights to hear them further pray, but also praise him, as we shall consider briefly tonight. Dear brothers and sisters, we have gathered together tonight, particularly to pray, and as an encouragement to pray, but also secondly, as a help to pray. Remember, the Lord wants to hear us this night. Just note these words, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. He wants to see us, and he wants to hear us. We recall again that the Song of Solomon chiefly concerns Christ and the church. There have been many, and even good men, who have glossed over this, or at least passed by this. But it's not correct to say that there is nothing of Christ here in the song. Just to see it as that between a husband and a wife is wrong. Yes, there's much for us to learn in view of the husband and the wife, but chiefly it concerns Christ and the church. And let me just remind you of what Jesus said himself, who believed in the infallibility and full inspiration of the scriptures. You recall on the day of resurrection, he made his way to the place called Emmaus with those two. And he said this to them in Luke 24, verse 25, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We see it plain there that our Lord taught those two in all the scriptures, including without any shadow of doubt, because he viewed the scriptures as a whole, and he accepted the canon as a whole, no question there. So he believed in the Song of Solomon. There were those things concerning himself. And he made known the Song of Solomon to those two on the road to Emmaus. I remember a few years ago at a committee meeting in North Wiltshire, one of the committee men commented on those words. Oh, to have been here, to have heard that sermon. What a sermon. As our Lord went through the Old Testament, as he went through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, as he went through Esther and Job, as he came to the Song of Solomon and made known those things concerning himself. From the witness, the testimony we have in Luke, we know plainly this song concerns Christ and the church. And here in this 14th verse, Christ is speaking. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Notice how he addresses the church, or we could look a little further at the individual believer. O my dove, Thou art in the clefts of the rock. O my dove, it speaks of the love, the affection of Christ. And when we come to prayer tonight, let's focus that Christ has such a heart of affection towards us. And so he wants to hear us speak. O my dove, thou dost belong to me, and I love thee, and I have such a heart of affection for thee. And is that not an encouragement to pray? He has such a heart full of affection for us, we who belong to him. My dove, you don't belong to the world. You belong to me. My dove, how he loves the church, how he has pity for the church. He speaks of the church or the individual believer as a dove. We can consider one weak and exposed to danger, first of all. He knows we're in the world and there's many dangers. He knows our weakness. He calls out to us. He desires that we would gather near again unto him, for he has a heart of compassion. He knows the danger. He wants to shelter us further and protect us. So firstly, he knows the weakness of the church, that they are exposed to danger. But also, as we think of the dove is comely and harmless. Comely because of his own righteousness. We've seen this before in the Song of Solomon. Just turn back to verse 5. I am black but comely of chapter 1. We're black. We see our sin. Oh, what sin has done. But we're comely. No merit of ourselves here. All of Christ. And we're amazed at the righteousness of Christ. And Christ looks on us as a dove. Comely. But then also harmless. Remember those words of Christ in Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. Harmless as doves. It can be translated from the Greek innocent, unmixed. There's no hypocrisy. The true believer is the genuine thing. Harmless. And that reminds us, does it not, in the way we live. We're to live in the light of what Christ sees us as because of himself, that we are a dove, no threat to others. Innocent in the sense we speak the truth and we conduct ourselves in a way that is plain, harmless. A dove. Oh, my dove. But consider here, secondly, Christ is looking on. Oh, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock. He views the church. He views the believer. And he views us here tonight. Oh, my dove, he speaks to us and he looks on. He knows everything about us. He calls us a dove. That shows, doesn't it? He knows everything about us. He knows the situation we are in, the dangers we face, the trials we experience. He looks on. And you know, it's a great help to prayer, isn't it? To pray aright, to remember, he looks on. He looks on us, even this night. He looks on us in the morning, but also in the night time. When we sit in the green pastures, when we hang on in the storm, he looks on. Oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. And that leads us to consider thirdly, that the church is in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. They're hiding in a day of trial. They're hiding in a day of persecution. Right near to Christ. And they have that open way. They have access to Christ. Oh, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. You are near me. And you have access to me. You can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Oh, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock. He knows his own. He knows that they are in union with him. It's full here, isn't it? Oh, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. I'm hiding in thee. Oh, blessed rock of ages. That's where we are, is it not? That's our blessed position in Christ, near to him. But God reminds us in the storms of life, oh, to flee to him. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. You have access. You know communion. Let me hear thy voice. Let me see thy countenance. Come near. He wants to see us. Come near. He wants to see us each day, but then also in these special occasions when he is here in a special way, let me see thy countenance. And we may say, how can we approach him? We, like Peter, would say, depart from me. Why? Because we feel our sin. But he says, let me see thy countenance. Why? Because he sees that we are comely in his own righteousness. Let me see thy countenance. One may feel guilty as a believer. He wants to see us. You come humbly in a penitent way. I'll remind you again of my righteousness and that there is fatherly forgiveness. Let me see thy countenance. We may feel guilty. We failed the Lord. We come humbly because he wants to see us. And then we come particularly to these words. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Let me hear thy voice. He invites us to pray. He's the king. He is the head of the church. He lifts the golden scepter and invites us to address him. Let me hear thy voice. What a thought it is, we address the king tonight. We address our triune God. And we can go humbly because we know there is a welcome. Oh, to think every time we pray, there is a welcome at the mercy seat. Let me hear thy voice. He gives us this invitation. How do we begin tonight? When thou saidest, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. He invites us. What a wonderful thing it is. He invites us again and again. He invites us to adore him. Let me hear thy voice. Oh, my dove, let me hear thy voice. Think of the dove again as we consider the dove tonight. The persecuted dove, the dove suffering in affliction, exposed to danger. You come to me. You speak to me in your weakness. You speak to me in your trial. The individual believer, as they suffer affliction, come, the church as a whole, come, let me hear thy voice. He invites us to pray. Let's always have it that way round. He invites us to pray. We don't come of ourselves. We come because he invites us to pray. And we can be assured that he will listen. Let me hear thy voice. So here's a great encouragement to pray tonight. The king wants to hear us. But let's consider, secondly, he is inviting us here to praise him. To sing. To praise him in prayer. To bring our thanksgivings unto him. Let me hear thy voice. We come to sing to him tonight. For he is worthy. We come near each day. But then we come near in these special times. And we sing. We come to sing to him. And we come to join in with him. Hebrews 2 verse 12. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And that's Christ speaking. Praise is offered to him. But he leads the singing as well. Oh, for many churches to rediscover this. You know, many more used to know about this. If you go to the Treasury of David and look up Spurgeon. Spurgeon was well acquainted with Christ leading the song. He is Christ then. He invites us to draw near, to praise him, but also to join with him in praising God as a whole. He wants to hear us. Let's never disappoint him. You know, a number of years ago, when I began to understand the Song of Solomon a little more, there's so much to discover, but when I began to understand the Song of Solomon a little more, I was so challenged by the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2, and the words of the church. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. There the Lord, he's at the door. The believer wakes up, there's been this slumber. Here's the voice of Christ. But then the believer hasn't got time for Jesus. Lord, forgive me those times I haven't had time for thee. No, we need to be honest with the Lord. It's a humbling thing, isn't it, when we really think about those words in our lives, as we reflect upon them, have we refused Jesus at times? Oh, we humbly seek his face, Lord, forgive me. But we seek his face because he still invites us. Let me hear thy voice. What encouragement to pray. You know, there is a way to please Christ every day. And there's a way to please Christ in the gatherings of the saints. That is, we pray, mindful of him. And we sing and offer praise unto him. Sincere prayer and praise he is pleased with. He accepts it, he covers it, and accepts it because of his own righteousness. Let's speak to the King tonight. When one leads in prayer, we join in silently in speaking to the King. A prayer meeting is a precious time when the people of God gather together to speak to their King and to speak to their head. And let there be that calmness tonight as we approach the King. 100 miles away, there is chaos, shouting, jeering in Parliament. Let us come calmly to the King, who is sovereign over all, who lifts the golden scepter to us, who's ready to hear us. And oh, as we come to prayer tonight, be focused on him. Prayer is this pouring out of the heart to him, to our triune God. Oh, let's come. He gives us the invitation. If there was no invitation, we might as well go home tonight. But because he invites us, we can bring our thanksgivings to him. We can bring our petitions to him. And we can praise his name. May the Lord help us to pray tonight. And is it not a great help to prayer? To listen to Jesus here in these words. Amen.